Government is everywhere. Personally, nationally, globally, and heavenly. Welcome to Are You Real Government, the premier media outlet where we discuss what's going on around the world and how to release God's governance, the kingdom, into it. Each week, we'll be equipping you with kingdom understanding and giving you the inside track to government leaders around the globe. Now get ready to get real about government with Are You Real Government.
What in the world is going on, and more importantly, what in your world is going on? This is Dub Alexander, spiritual advisor to the influential and your host of Are You Real Government. Don't forget that you can catch the founder of the Are You Real podcast family, John Fuller, and his show, the original Are You Real, every Wednesday on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. This week, I'm excited to dig into a subject that I've touched briefly on in a previous podcast. That would be the correlation between the business mountain and the government mountain and how the two rely on each other. And so to shed some light on this specific topic, I've brought in a true kingdom comrade whose family has served as a pillar in the Amarillo area for years. She currently serves as the Panhandle Restaurant Association president, my friend Jennifer Barra. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about the role that your family plays and has played for many years in the city of Amarillo.
Okay, so we are a family business and we're just off of our 35th birthday. So we opened in 1983 in Amarillo and we've been in business 35 years.
Congratulations.
So thank you. It's an exciting time for us. So
awesome. What are some areas that people would know your family's involvement in?
Okay, well, to sum up our family and what we stand for, most people know us as just being a family business. If you go into any one of our locations, one of us is always working. It's my sister, my dad, and me. And I think that's what people most know us for. We operate under three major core values, and it's contribution, community, and family. And so when anyone comes in, we want them to know that this is why we're in business, is to bring families together. We represent family. We give to our community, and we want to be known as contributors. Like, we want Amarillo to be a better city because of us.
That's awesome, and I can bear witness that that is true. As I get to know more and more people in this area, I'm from Dallas originally, but I've called Amarillo my home city for quite a while now. And as I run into more and more people, your family is always well spoken of, and you guys are just a great part of the culture here. And so I wanted to honor you for that. So talk to me a little bit about your role in the Panhandle Restaurant Association and the role of that organization itself in this area.
Okay. Well, right now I'm currently president of the Panhandle Restaurant Association. So that's just a small part of the big scope, which is the Texas Restaurant Association, which mm-hmm. is also a part of the big organization, which is the NRA, the National Restaurant Association. So I'm in charge of just this area, the Panhandle Restaurant Association. So our association really is just about making our industry better. Who benefits most from the organization is small businesses. So if you're a member, you can get legal counsel. We offer insurance resources. You can get TABC certified, SafeServe certified, and get a discount through the organization. Whether you're a member or not, the restaurant association is always fighting for laws that get put in. You know, they're always fighting. Like, for example, a couple of years ago, the state was trying to put a tax on restaurant equipment. And so the restaurant association fought for that. So whether you're a member or not, you're benefiting for what the organization is doing. It also has developed a culinary program. So it's part of just being a contributor to the industry. So they developed culinary programs that are in every high school, like here in Amarillo, Dallas, Houston. And so they develop curriculum and they fund that organization, the culinary program.
Awesome.
So it's basically preparing the next generation. Like, we're thinking we want to equip the next generation of restaurateurs, entrepreneurs, chefs, hostesses, you know, people that want to be in the industry. We want to educate them and prepare them for the future.
Love that. That's so good. So what kind of an impact? You already touched on it briefly with the tax that was coming in on mm-hmm. the restaurant equipment. But in addition to that, what kind of impact do organizations like the Panhandle Restaurant Association have in local and even national government? I know that I went with you to a couple of different events that, you know, political campaigns were going on and they asked for an audience with the PRA.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about that influence, how that works.
Well, you know, that's kind of because of the Panhandle Restaurant Association. It's kind of where the government side, the role that I play, the small role that I play, kind of married together, because business and government do go hand in hand sometimes. And so on the government side, any law that gets put into place, you know, of course, the Restaurant Association has to abide by that law and get educated, like on whether it's immigration or how to be compliant with the labor laws. The laws are constantly changing, which a lot of small businesses that don't have huge HR firms to rely on, you know, wow. a small business of like 50 people, for example, mm-hmm. They're usually probably doing a lot of their own internal house HR department. So, yeah. What the restaurant station does is we create like forums and like mini conferences where we'll come in and we really gear it to small businesses where you can learn, okay, this law is about to take place. And then we'll hire, like Julie Holsley is like one person we've hired. She's a specialist in insurance. And so we come in, she'll come and speak, and you can either hire her or not, but it educates small businesses on how to be compliant with any new labor laws that are coming in. So with the restaurant industry, it's constantly changing and evolving. And so a lot of owners right now of restaurants, they're having to work more on that end of being compliant. And so it's just providing small businesses with education is what it's really big on. So
that's great. Talk to me a little bit about, obviously, you have grown up in a small family business. Mm-hmm. You come from a legacy of that. And so that's always been a part of your life. When was it that you kind of became awakened to this call that God has on your life, mm-hmm. To impact government? And what was that like as far as just opening you up to a whole new avenue of how God wanted to use you, mm-hmm. and just the passion in that?
To be real vulnerable and honest, I, you know, was born into the restaurant industry. And so at times, you know, I almost hated it at times because I knew that it was something important. So I chose to be a part of it than to do something else. And I wanted to follow in my dad's footsteps. But at times I also felt a little bit lost in it, and I had no direction. I didn't see the value in it at times. And so me and my dad were constantly kind of at a tug of war because he was always pushing for our company to really be community driven. And where I was more pushing for our company to grow internally. And so there was that tug of war, but it was because our restaurant didn't necessarily, the identity, it always had an identity, but it wasn't awakened yet. And so I went to a conference in California at Bethel, and it was called Heaven in Business 2015. And I went, and I was just, okay, if God's going to move in business in me, I need more revelation. I need more guidance. And so this kind of gave me that opportunity. So I go there, and I had never heard of Lance Wallnau before. Uh-huh. And I never heard any of his teaching on the Seven Mountains. And so I go, and I'm completely rocked, and I'm texting my dad, and all of a sudden I see my dad, and his identity is completely different because I always wanted to be in the church. Like, to me, that was where God moved all the time, and I just wanted to, like, be a woman's pastor. I wanted to do prophetic ministry and just be in the church all the time. But then all of a sudden, this whole new world begin to open up, and I begin to see God move, how God does move in government and does move in business, and it all plays together. And so it was a big like shift for me, and I began to see the favor that I had in business where I never saw before. Wow. And in government. And so my dad has always been very influential in the city in Amarillo, and I just began to see his identity and mine and how they married together. And so that's where our core values, we've always had them, but I was able to pinpoint them. And so that Seven Mountain teaching changed everything for me. And then I immediately knew I'm probably called to business and government all in the same thing because it's always mixing for me. Uh-huh. And so that's kind of how it all started. And I started to look at our business as its own entity. And so I was like, okay, so La Fiesta, it represents family legacy. Like, it represents reconciliation, you know?
Which is the name of your family's restaurant?
Yes. So our restaurant's La Fiesta Grande, and I began to see the legacy that La Fiesta was, and it was a transfer of wealth from one generation to the next. And so I knew that for us to really be a legacy, that I had to take it to the next place. And so that's kind of where I'm at, and that's kind of where I met you, Deb, in the middle of all that.
We became a government mountain comrades for sure. I love how God opened your eyes to that realization mm-hmm. and to that new calling. And then very soon thereafter, you were selected to serve on the steering committee of a highly successful mayoral race right here in the city of Amarillo. So talk to us about what that was like. What are some hard things that you experienced on that campaign trail? And what are some things that you loved and that really resonated with you in that experience?
Something I want to just say about Dub, because I always say I don't like politics. I always say that. But he's real quick to kind of correct me, and he says, "Yes, you don't like politics, but you love government."
That's true.
And it is so true. So when I came to this revelation of like, okay, so God's really moving in me in a totally different direction than I thought. And about 8 months after I do Heaven and Business, I get a call from Ginger Nelson, and she was running for mayor. And I'd heard about Ginger. I didn't know her personally. She was friends with my father. And then we have just an awesome story. She calls me and she says that she was praying, you know, who she wanted to be on her steering committee. And she had never met me. She had only heard my name. And she called and said, "Would you serve?" And immediately, I just knew that the Lord had brought us together. And I just said, "I will serve you." Like, I just immediately knew. So I start kind of telling her about what I learned in California and what I feel like God was saying in Amarillo. And she was on the same page, and that's where our relationship started, and we just connected immediately, and now we're great friends. So
love that. So in the process of that campaign that you worked so closely with her, what were some great experiences that you got to have, and what were some of the hard things you had to work through?
I think that in government, what the Lord has really spoke to me the most, what I learned the most, is that to see people really the way God does. And as Christians, as believers, we say that a lot, but we don't necessarily practice it a lot. And so in government, I learned that just because that I don't necessarily agree with everyone's policies, I need to see how God can move in them and through them.
Come on, so
and,
good.
And in government, I feel like that's where there's always a divide, because it's like, oh, if they're not Republican, then you know, then we're not in agreement. But that's not where what your agreement should look like. The agreement is, do we want good things? Are we passionate about making the city great? Because those are like the fruits of the spirit, patience, kindness. Like, that's where the agreement should be. It shouldn't be in where do you align politically, what political party you're with. And so that really taught me something, because I always thought, oh, yes, I do that. But then I was noticing, no, I didn't. And so God was bringing me with people that I didn't necessarily agree with on the politics side, mm-hmm. but I agreed with them because they wanted good things for the city. And so then I could see God's hand on people.
Yeah.
Even if I didn't agree with their policies, I could still see how God was moving in them and through them. And so it kind of took a lot of religion off of me.
Wow.
You know, because, you know, I go to a big church. I listen to Chris Vallotton, you know, listen to Lance Wallnau. So even in doing that, I even put myself kind of in a bubble that the Lord had to break me up, because I started meeting people that were hearing God and doing all these amazing things, but they weren't necessarily doing all the things that I was doing. And so God connected me with them, and he would say to me, "I want you to hear the conviction in them." And he would tell me, because all of our convictions are different. And I feel like what breaks our heart is what guides us, and it's part of what God created us to do and be. So someone who's, you know, crying for missionaries, you know, and I'm over here doing government, doesn't make one greater or, you know, greater than the other, but just to see the importance on someone's life, to see, okay, their conviction comes from something that the Holy Spirit has put inside of them, and they're going to fight for the passion that resides inside of them. And so in government, if you look and go, okay, but I can see God's hand on this person, and I can partner with the goodness in them, whatever that is, whatever they're doing. And so that's the one thing that I think that in government we can do, and take that, we've got to take that religion off of us. And I hope that makes sense. I don't mean to go in circles, but
no, it sure made sense to me for sure. And that's something that I see you constantly do in all areas of your life, even when, you know, with your employees at the restaurant, for instance. I always see you moving to champion the greatness of who they are and the God factor of who they are. And you just choose to live that lifestyle. And I would agree that it's kind of in American culture that the dividing line between the Republicans and Democrats is so hard that it would, you're right. The spirit of religion would try to say that you cannot work with that individual, you know, whatever it is, but you're choosing to bring the truth that you walk in to find the God factor in everybody around you into that situation and into that hard place in the government mountain. So definitely honor you for that. That's great. So let's just talk a little bit about the city of Amarillo. This is such a small city, so to speak, on a national scale, but this platform is international. And so you have the opportunity right now to tell the world what it is that you love about the city of Amarillo and what you want the world to know about it. So have at it.
Oh, that's awesome. So the place I'm coming from is really a pure place because I've grown up here in Amarillo, and there's times all I wanted to do was to leave Amarillo because I didn't see the greatness in it. But now I absolutely see Amarillo is such a great city. Amarillo is so full of people that really know how to champion people. It's a place where you want to raise your children. And it's a place of opportunity in that someone told me one time, and it stuck with me, so I'm going to share it. I used to want to kind of move to the Dallas area. And this person said, you know, Jen, Dallas doesn't need you because everything's been done there. And Amarillo is a city waiting for people to come and discover it. And so I was thinking, okay, so Dallas is such an amazing city, right? But Amarillo is still there waiting for so much and so many people to come and create. It's like a blank canvas right now. And so for me, I love Amarillo. Like, I love that we're in the process of breaking through major growth. Like, the downtown is growing right now. And so I see Amarillo as a great city. I see it in the future. Amarillo is such a city that gets behind local businesses. We're a local business, and I cannot tell you how much support we get on a day-to-day basis. Amarillo is just an amazing city. Like, the unemployment rate's low here. You can live here better. The quality of life is better here than it is in a place like Austin. No offense to Austin, but it's really expensive to live in Austin. True. It's really expensive to live in certain areas of Dallas. So you can live a really quality life here. You can have a home here. One of the great things about Amarillo, too, that I love, one of my favorite things is that we're really known for family business. I feel like that's also part of the identity of our city. You know, we have Amarillo National Bank, which is like the biggest home-owned bank, one of the biggest home-owned banks in the nation. And I feel like they're, you know, that kind of creates just this environment of a family here. You know, that bank, there's Happy State Bank, which is, you know, fairly local bank, you know, starting Happy, Texas isn't that far from here. But we're known as family. Amarillo is known, the business part of Amarillo, I feel like, is really known as family. Like, if you go to any of our local businesses, it has such a family feel to it. And so I love that. I don't think that's a coincidence that there's so many, family businesses that have gone past 30 years, which is very rare. Like, if you look at statistics of just a business in general to last, a family business is like, that's another strike against you. Right. And then to go past 10 years or past 30 years is an amazing accomplishment. And I can name so many businesses, like Big Texan, one of them, Tacos Garcia is another one, Amarillo National Bank, La Fiesta Grande, that have stood the test of time. And so I think that in itself is reason to come to Amarillo.
Love that. So all you entrepreneurs out there, if you're looking for a great place to go and start a business, Amarillo is the place to be. Like Jen talked about, the quality of life that you can have here is amazing. The housing market's great. We're growing exponentially. People are moving here all the time, and it's just a great place for people that are looking for opportunity to come. So earlier you mentioned the phrase, I see it in the future. I see Amarillo in the future. So talk to the people a little bit about that. What is God's heart for the city of Amarillo, and what do you see for it in the future?
Okay. Well, for Amarillo, I definitely see our downtown thriving. I heard a quote one time, and it's something that's always stuck with me. And they say a thriving city should be like a cinnamon roll and not like a donut. And so, it always stuck with me because a donut, obviously, the center is empty, but a cinnamon roll, the best part is in the middle. And so I feel that the downtown, our downtown area, is like it's the heart of the city. It's the one part of the city that it connects like all four parts of the city. And so I see the downtown completely thriving. I see businesses thriving. I see Amarillo known in a bigger scale, like down. Everyone in Texas usually mentions Dallas, Houston, and Austin. True. And so I see Amarillo growing to that level.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because have you been downtown lately?
I have, and I have to tell our listeners, especially those who happen to be local to the Texas Panhandle area, that Jen told me this like 2 years ago, and that she saw the center of downtown Amarillo coming alive and beginning to thrive, and you are totally able to see that happening with the new restaurants, the new, just got a jazz bar. That's cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's bringing some class in at another level there. I love that. And so, yes, so many things that are changing. And I know that Amarillo has such a strategic position as if you begin to look at the larger cities that surround us, whether it's Oklahoma City or Denver or Albuquerque or the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you know, all of those are anywhere between 4 to 6 hours away. But we are the central point in all of that. So where do you see yourself in the future in the Government Mountain?
You know, honestly, I think lately I really like to be a little bit behind the scenes. Gotcha. I like the behind the scenes part of government. I like to be just a helper. You know, one of the things Ginger, you know, she's told me is you've just been a helper. And I do like the behind the scenes. I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I've been asked to run for different things, but nothing's really shouted out at me because, you know, we'll see where God takes me. But right now I think I'm comfortable with behind the scenes, but I know eventually in the future it'll take on a bigger platform. So I don't know. We'll see. That's a good question.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, do you have any final words for our audience?
I think final words, you know, if you are in business or if you are in government, I feel like just in leaving, I would just say in your business, one of the main goals, obviously, in business is to make money, obviously.
Absolutely.
Make money. But to in government, but just follow goodness. I mean, that's really all. Partner with goodness. And in your city or in your state or wherever your passion is, leave it better than how you found it.
Come on.
You know, it's very, very simple. One of the things in just mentoring, I mentor a lot at work.
True.
And so we're a restaurant. So if you're, you know, in business, in government, you know, there's always some type of contribution, meaning you give back to whoever's around you. So I do a lot of mentoring. And, you know, I teach the next generation to be contributors, you know, and to not have a taker mentality, but be a contributor. You know, a taker says, what can you do for me? But a contributor says, what can I do for you? And just serve, you know,
yeah.
Just serve. So those are just some of my closing thoughts. Those are things that I live by. I would say serving has opened up more opportunities for me than I could ever imagine than demanding a platform. And I don't mean this in a conceited way or anything, but I get platforms all the time but they all come from a place where I've served.
Yeah.
And where I've served my way, and I've chosen to be a contributor. And even when I didn't like something, I would still say, okay, if Jen shows up, it's going to be better than it was before I got here.
So awesome. Absolutely. You guys catch a hold of what she just said, that more platforms have been extended to her because of where she has chosen to serve and to contribute and to make things better than she ever would have gotten by demanding a platform because of who she is. Mm-hmm. And so that's huge. Love that. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate
it. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It's been great. I hope you guys enjoyed the interview. Don't forget that Are You Real is a whole family of podcasts. You can check out Matt Dietz with Are You Real Creative. He just did an interview with John Egan, who is one of my favorite worship leaders out of Colorado Springs. Be sure you check that out. You guys enjoy your week. Remember that it's been Dub, it's been Kingdom, and it's been Real.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Are You Real Government? For in-depth resources, show notes, information on today's discussion, or to connect with your host personally, please visit areyoureal.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the other podcasts in the Are You Real family. Until next time, thanks for keeping it real with Are You Real Government?